Brother Shmuel, I apologize, I'm running out. Somebody's going to tape it and send it to me. So on my way back from Yeshiva, I will listen to his Dibur Chizuk. And thank you in advance for giving us the time. And look forward for us to be inspired.
Thank you.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. So it's an incredible schus to be here with all of you, as Rav Cutler is an old friend of mine. He's young, but he and I go back a very long time, Baruch Hashem, and it's always a great schus to be able to come to Eretz Yisrael, usually to be able to share a little bit of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and a great schus to be able to share with you some Torah here. This is a Shana Aleph shir. Okay, so first I just have Hakdama, and I'm sure you're going to hear this a lot over the course of this year. And I was just telling this to my good friend Josh Rosemore when we were learning a little bit before. As I will say, it's important that you recognize that what an incredible zechus you have in front of you this year. I am sure that the acclimation from high school, I'm sure coming from a variety of different backgrounds and coming from high school and getting used to a yeshiva schedule, is quite a dramatic change. To go from, even if you were in a high school, there was an incredible shir and a lot of Torah, nothing compares to Yom HaMalaylam Torah, nothing compares to a real yeshiva schedule, and I'm sure it takes an incredible amount of acclimation and getting used to. But trust me when I tell you that you will never have time like this again in your life. The ability to be Rosha Verubo, the ability to literally be fully immersed in the Torah Kedosha, the ability to literally focus on one thing and one thing only, which is your personal growth, your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your relationship with Torah Mizos, your relationship with Am Yisrael, with Klal Yisrael, with Eretz Yisrael. You're never going to have an opportunity like this in your life, because as you get older, things become more complicated. As you get older, you have more obligations. As you get older, you have more responsibilities. And this unique time that you have just to be able to focus on yourselves, to be able to focus on your growth, relish every moment. Take advantage of every moment. Maximize every moment you have, because the year goes by quickly. And even if you're zochtlin for a second year goes by quickly, a third year goes by quickly, decades go by quickly. And this time is so unique. Maximize it. I want to share with you just a very short, I'm not going to take too much of your time, but a short idea about Chodesh Elul. And it's an idea that actually comes from Parsha Surah A, and I think from a very interesting and perhaps unique concept, we'll be able to frame a little bit about the experience of Chodesh Elul. When you think about Chodesh Elul, what's the avoda of Chodesh Elul? What's the avoda? What would you say? Tshuva. Good. Now, that's interesting. Now, where do you get that idea that the avoda of Chodesh Elul is tshuva? I'm sorry? Slichos. Right? What? Good, David. So slichos, right? Now, interestingly enough, but we don't start slichos until when? Well, I guess it depends, right? It depends on who you are, right? If you're Ashkenazic or if you're Sephardic. But again, for us Ashkenazim, we're not starting slichos until this Matzah Shabbos. David, you started already? Slichos, good. All right, so he's a good Sephardic Jew. He started already. But for, again, if slichos was really the avoda of Elul, then everybody should be starting Rosh Chodesh. If it's tshuva, so tell me again, where else do you see an element of tshuva in Chodesh Elul? And by the way, it doesn't have to be tshuva. It suggests other ideas also. Any other suggestions what the avoda of Chodesh Elul is? Bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, where do we see that from? Good. What else? Good. The simplest idea. Elo anila dodi vidodi. You lead the pasuk from Shir Hashirim. Really, Elo, and this is very important, Elo is not as much about tshuva. Tshuva is more a din in Rosh Hashanah, in Yom Kippur. Elo is really about coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, there's an amazing Ma'aril. The Ma'aril, I mentioned this in a different shir that I gave. The Ma'aril says that normally when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tiv, we have a din of Mosifin Mechodesh Alchol, right? That we start Shabbos early, we start Yom Tiv early. There is one Yom Tiv we don't start early. Which one is that? Good. So leave aside Shavuos for just a moment, because Shavuos again is a homachlokus. What are the Yom Tivs we not start early? Take a wild guess. Rosh Hashanah. The Ma'aril says you don't start Rosh Hashanah early. Why? Why? He says because Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin. And why would you want to start the Yom HaDin earlier? So the Balatanya says, what does that mean? He says, Elul is a month of love. Elul is a month of rachamim. Elul is a month of connection. Why would you want to give up some of that for the din? The din will come. Judgment comes for everyone. Judgment comes whether you're ready or not. Judgment always comes. But why be makdim? Why would you want to bring in the judgment any earlier? And really from the Balatanya, what you begin to see is that the month of Elul is a month of closeness. It's not a month of al-chid. It's not a month of ashamdu bagadnu. It's not a month, ultimately, again, of apologizing for my mistakes and missteps of the past. That comes Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, even through Sukkiyos, all the way to Hoshana Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, if you're a chassid, you have until Chanukah. Right? The din ultimately comes. But that's not Elul. Elul is anila dodi vidodi li. Elul is closeness. Elul is love. So the shaila is, how do we harness the power of Elul? So I want to share with you something amazing. In Parshas Re'eh, so you know most of Chumash Devarim, well, all of Chumash Devarim takes place where? Remember again, Me'ever LeYarden, right by the Jordan River, right by the Yarden. Moshe Rabbeinu was essentially giving over whatever he can in these last couple of months that he has with Klal Yisrael, and he essentially does a review of the Torah. Chumash Devarim has some new mitzvot, but most of it is a review. But every single time Moshe Rabbeinu reviews a mitzvah, so Rashi always points out what? When it looks like the Torah is just simply regurgitating old information, what does Rashi always point out? That there's always something new. Right, there's always some new element. So in Parshas Re'eh, Moshe Rabbeinu goes over the mitzvah or the mitzvos of kashrus. Now, did we learn about kashrus already before? Yeah, where did we learn about it? Good, already in Vayikra, Parshas Shmini. So Moshe Rabbeinu says as follows. This is in Dvarim Perek Yud Dalid Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Pasuk says, Kol Tzipor Tahora Sochelu. Which means what? Right, you can eat every what? Called Sipar Tahora, what was the tar? Pure, clean, kosher. You can eat kosher birds. What are the simon, what are the signs of a kosher bird? So interesting that there really aren't any. We see a kosher trait. What's the kosher trait? Kosher birds generally aren't what? Aren't birds of prey. Right? But otherwise, again, when it comes to birds, pretty much what we have is we have a mesorah. Right? We have a tradition, ultimately, again, which birds are kosher, which birds are not kosher. Say for Moshe, and it says, Kol tzipa tahora sochelu. You're allowed to eat any tar bird. Now, what's the Abhi Shaila? What? Which birds are tummy? So again, so the Torah lists some of them, and some of them are predatory in nature. But again, going back for just a moment, did we learn this halacha already? Yes. So now what's your kasha? So why is it being repeated? So listen to this Rashi. You know, boys, I tell you something amazing. The truth is, everybody likes to open the Chumash to all the Mefarshim. You really don't need to go any further than Rashi. All of the treasures in Torah are contained in Rashi. So listen to what Rashi HaKadosh says. Called Tzipor Tahora Sochelu, Lahatir Mushlechas Shebemetzora. Lahatir Mushlechas Shebemetzora. Anyone want to translate that? Lahatir Mushlechas Shebemetzora. Lahatir? To permit Mushlechas. Sent away Shebemetzora. What's the Metzora? The guy with Saras. So what is Rashi referring to over here? You go back to Chumash Vayikra, the Parshas Metzora. The Torah says a person contracts Saras. Why does a person get Saras? Lashon Hara. Right? Lashon Hara. So what happens? The Torah tells us, this is in Vayikra, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Dalid. V'tziva ha-koi v'la-kachla mitaher, shtei tziporin chayos tahoros. The halacha is, in the purification process of the Metzora, it requires two birds. Two birds. With the first bird, the Torah says, V'tziv ha'koin v'shachat esat tzipor ha'achas al kli cheres amayim chayim. The first bird, what do you do with it? You shecht it. Then what do? The Torah says, you take its blood. V'esat tzipor ha'chayo yikach osa v'esat se'er z'she. So what do? You shecht one bird. You take its blood. Then you take the live bird, and what happens? You dip it in the blood of the shechted bird, and then what do you do with the live bird? Torah says, V'hiza mitaher b'shilach es hatzipor achaya al pnei hasada. And then what do you do with the live bird? What do you do with it? You let it go. So this is the purification process for the mitzvah. Take one bird, shecht it, take its blood, gather its blood in a kli, take the live bird, dip the live bird in the blood of the shechted bird, and then what do you do with the live bird? Let it go. Let it go. So the Zohar says, why do we take two birds? What's the purification process? Why does the purification process of the mitzvah require two birds? So listen to these words of the Zohar. The Zohar writes, Begain mila bisha kach anshe. Begain mila tava dika asi liyadei v'yachal malala v'lamalas. Remember, let's take a step back for just a moment. Anyone remember, why is it that the purification process of the mitzvah requires birds? Remember Rashi points this out. Remember what Rashi says? What do birds do?
Chirp,
right, good. We're going to get to the free in just a moment. They chirp. So remember again, why does a person get tzaras? Because it's Yiglash Nara, essentially you're chirping a bit too much, you're chirping to everyone about everything. So it's like a mita kinegin mita. The Mesapra Lashon Hara is always talking, always chirping. So therefore his purification process requires birds, which are always talking, always chirping. So the Zohar says, okay, I understand why I need birds, but I still have another question, which is what?
Why
two? So the Zohar says something amazing. He says one bird, the shechted bird, that corresponds to my misuse of my koach hadibur. Each of us has the power of speech. And so again, I'm going and I'm taking my koach hadibur, I'm taking my power of speech, and what am I doing? I'm misusing it. I'm using my koach hadibur, my power of speech, to hurt someone, to malign someone, to abuse someone. What have I effectively done? I've slaughtered my power of speech. That is symbolized by the bird that is taken and is shechted. That represents the negative use, the abuse of my koach hadibur, my power of speech. What's the second bird for? Listen to the words of the Zohar. The Zohar says, Begin mila tava dika'asi liyadei v'yachil lemalalo v'lamalo. What does the second bird represent? The second bird represents the ability I had to use my speech in a constructive way. You see, here's the idea. Every time a person commits an avera, so there's almost like a double loss. There's the avera I committed, but what else? What's the second dimension of loss when I commit an avera?
Potential.
The potential. I could have been doing something positive. In that same moment, when I did something negative, that same energy, those same resources, that same time could have been used to accomplish something positive, something dynamic. Therefore, says the Zohar, when we're purifying the Mitzvah, we ultimately again shed light on the duality of this dynamic. We shecht one bird, and the shechted bird represents what? Represents the avera I committed. The bird represents my power of speech. I took my power of speech and I used it to slaughter someone. I used it to hurt someone. I used it to harm someone. That's represented in the bird, that slaughter. But there's something else. Because in that same moment that I was using my speech to deconstruct someone, what could I have been doing? What could I have been doing? I could have been using my koach hadibur, my power of speech, in a positive, dynamic way to build someone up. You see someone and you give them a compliment. You see someone, you ask them how they're doing. You see someone and you give them some chizuk. You see someone and you give them an encouraging word. That's a positive use of your koach hadibur. You could change worlds, you could change lives just with one positive word. And therefore, says the Zohar, when the Mitzvah is becoming purified, he brings two birds. One of them is slaughtered, representing what? The abuse of speech. The negative use of speech. And the second bird that is left alive, represents what I could have been doing with my speech. Represents the parasite that I'm. And what do we do with the living bird? What do we do with it? What, you dip it in blood. And then what? You let it go. It flies away. Why do we let it fly away? What do you think that represents? Why did we let it fly away?
Potential.
Potential. But what about that potential?
Lost opportunities.
See, that looks like what the Torah Kedoshah is telling us is something dramatically amazing. Life is filled with opportunities. But if you don't take them, they do not wait at your doorstep until you're ready. They don't wait at your doorstep until you feel like it. Your opportunities in life do not simply wait at your feet, waiting for you to scoop them up and take advantage of them. If you take advantage of them, great. But if you don't, then what do they do? Then what do they do? They fly away. Says the Zohar, that is the dramatic symbolism of the purification process of the Mitzorah. The slaughtered bird represents the chait, represents the avera, represents the negative action that you engaged in, represents the fact that I took my koach adibur, or my power of speech, and I slaughtered it, I obliterated it, I misused it. And then the living bird, which represents how I could have used my speech in a positive way, how I could have used it to construct someone, to build someone up, to do something positive, but I didn't. We let that bird go, symbolizing the lost opportunities. It's not just that I didn't take the opportunity is gone. It flies away, it flutters away, there's nothing more, and I can't take advantage of it anymore. Come back to Parashas Re'eh. And what does the Torah Kedoshah tell us? Kol tzipor tahora socheilu. What does Rashi say? According to Rashi, what does that come to include? Remember, what does that come to include? What does Rashi say? L'rabos lahatir mushlachas shebimetzora. What does it come to include? So can you imagine this case? Imagine for a moment, right? You find your bird. Right? I'm the Mitzora. I spoke Lashon Hara. So I brought my karbanos. They slaughtered one bird representing, again, my abusive speech. They took the second bird, dipped it in blood, let it go. Why did we let it go again? Why did we let it go? Symbolize lost opportunities. But says Rashi something so amazing. If you find your bird, if you find, now how do you know it's your bird? It's right. You see a beautiful white dove that has a red head, right? Some hamish, again, I say, you know what, that looks like my dove. That's the dog I let go. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? What?
It's kosher.
It's kosher. You can eat it. Says the Vashem to HaKadosh. What is the Torah coming to teach us? That sometimes you can recapture lost opportunities. That sometimes even the bird that got away, you can recapture. Sometimes even the lost opportunities that just fluttered and flew away, if you find them, you can recapture them. If you find them, you can take advantage of them. If you find them, you see, Torah is teaching us two things. That more often than not in life, when you let your opportunities pass you by, they fly away and you can't recapture them. But sometimes in life, you can. Sometimes in life, you could recapture the bird that got away. Sometimes in life, you could find the lost bird. Sometimes in life, you could find the lost opportunity. And once again, avail yourself of that opportunity. When does this happen? So I think that this is the pshat in Chodesh Elul. You see, what happened in Chodesh Elul? Every Rosh Chodesh, every new month is filled with incredible new opportunity. What's the power of Rosh Chodesh? What's the power of Rosh Chodesh? If I were to ask you, what is the power of Rosh Chodesh? Mm-hmm. New beginning. Beautiful. You know, in Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, we say, Rosh Chodeshim la'amcha nasata, which literally means, Rosh Chodeshim, right? New months, plural, la'amcha nasata, you've given to your nation. So the Sfarim asks, why does it say Rosh Chodeshim? Let it say, Rosh Chodesh la'am chonasat. You've given us Rosh Chodesh singular. Why Rosh Chodeshim? Why new months plural? What's the answer? The answer is because I want to tell you an incredible secret. It's the best kept secret. Anytime you want a Rosh Chodesh, you can have one. What's today? Yud Beis Elul. And if you want today to be Rosh Chodesh, you can make it a Rosh Chodesh. You want to start again today? You want a new beginning? You want to start over? No problem. Anytime you want a do-over in life, it's yours. Not Rosh Chodesh La'am Chanasata, Rosh Chodeshim La'am Chanasata. Any day you want the Rosh Chodesh, any day you want a new beginning, that new beginning is there for you to have. Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh Elul is a new beginning, but it's something even more. There's an amazing Gemara Maseches Berachos. The Gemara says, listen to this. An interesting halacha. Tashma, this is in Berachos Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Tashma, Shachris. So the Gemara here is talking about the Berachos Kriya Shema, the Berachos preceding Shema. And the Gemara goes to the following situation. Shachris, Pasach B'Yotzer Ar, V'Siyem B'Ma'ariv Aravim. So listen to this interesting case. So let's say again, Shachris, you begin the first bracha, Berachos Kriya Shema, and you begin it in the right way. You begin it with Yotzer Ar, but the concluding bracha, instead of saying what? Baruch Atah Hashem, Yotzer HaMa'oros, what do you end up saying? Ma'ariv Aravim. So you end up saying the concluding bracha for Berachos Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv. So what's the halacha? Lo Yotza. On the other hand, Pasach B'Ma'ariv Aravim, the Siyem B'Yotzer Ar, if you went ahead and you started the bracha with Ma'ariv Aravim and you ended with Yotzer Ar, so you had the wrong beginning, but you ended the bracha in the correct way, what's the halacha? Yotza. And the Gemara then goes on, same case. Pasach Ma'ariv Aravim Siyem B'Yotzer Efen Ma'ariv. You begin with the right bracha of Ma'ariv Aravim, but you end off with Yotzer Ar. Lo Yotza. Pasach B'Yotzer Ar V'Siyem Ma'ariv Aravim Yotza. So you see the Gemara says that what's the halacha? What do we look at in terms of determining whether or not your bracha of Kriya Shema is good? What do we look at? The end. Listen to this. Klalo shel davar, says the Gemara, the klal. Klalo shel davar. You know, bro, say whenever you see klalo shel davar, whenever Chazal makes a statement like that, it's not just klalo shel davar for this halacha. It's klalo shel davar in life. What's the klal of life? Hakol holech achar hachitu. What does that mean? Hakol holech achar hachitum. Everything goes by what? The end. Everything in life is determined not by how you begin, but by how you finish. You want to know the power of Chodesh Elul? You see, a lot of us go through the year, and chances are we've had a lot of failures, we've had a lot of mistakes, and there have been a lot of birds that we have let go throughout the year. And we've been looking for those birds, but those birds are nowhere to be found. Because more often than not, the lost opportunities of life, when you let them go and they fly away, you generally can't recapture them. But comes on Chazan, Chazal say it's okay. Because remember the Pasuk told us, called Tzipar Tahora Tochelu. Even if you're able to find your lost bird, it's kosher, you can recapture it, you can take advantage of it. Chodesh Elul is the month when we find our lost birds. You know what the avod of Chodesh Elul is? It's to finish strong. The avod of Chodesh Elul is not simply tshuva. The avod of Chodesh Elul is not ashamnu bagadnu, it's not the alchitz. The avod of Chodesh Elul is one simple thing, to ask myself, what opportunities have I missed out on this past year? What birds have I let fly away? And how can I recapture them? How can I maximize the opportunities that I have now in my grasp? How can I find a way to find those birds that I have let go throughout the year and maximize those opportunities now? But what does it matter what I do in Chodesh Elul? I messed up the whole year. I let so many birds go throughout all of the months. What do Chazal say? Klalo shel davar, hakol holich. You know what the success of 57-78, you know what the success of this year is predicated on? The success of this year is predicated on what I do during this month. Hakol holech achar achitum. So even if you've let a lot of birds go, and even if you've missed a lot of opportunities, and even if you've made a lot of mistakes, as we all have, what matters not is what happened in the months before. What matters is how we choose to close things out. What matters is how we ultimately, again, affect and create our chitum. If the chitum, if the closing out, if the conclusion is strong, if we recapture the lost opportunities, if we recapture the lost birds, see, even if the previous months were not all that great, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at how we close out the year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at how we close out these final days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at ultimately again how we close out our Chodesh Elul. And I'll end up with one last piece. With this, I'll conclude. You know, there's a beautiful insight from this past week's parasha. The Torah says, yeah, it's mentioned this in the shir that I gave last week. The Torah says, Ki seitze l'milchama alai vecha. When you go out to war against your enemies. The Torah talks about the din of Yifas Torah, the war bride, and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh makes an amazing observation. He says, Ki seitze l'milchama alai vecha. When you will go out to war against your enemies, that pasuk is singular. That pasuk is singular. Right? Watch, how should the pasuk read? When you plural, right, talking to the Jewish army, what does it mean when you go out to war against your enemies? Baal Shem Tov quotes the well-known idea that Rashi says, that the Torah over here is talking about the laws of war, but Torah is not just talking about the war with an external enemy, it's talking about the war with our internal enemy as well. This pasuk is talking about the war that each of us wage each and every day with our Yetzirah, with the pushes and pulls and the wants and the desires and the proclivities and all the things that derail us in life. It says the Baal Shem Tov is something amazing. Do you know why it's phrased in the singular? Because each of us have our own struggles. Each of us wage our own war. My struggles are not like your struggles. And no two of you here in this room have the same struggles either. Each of us, we wage our own individual battles in life. And the reality is, many times over the course of the year, we lose the battles. Many times over the course of the year, we lose the battles against the Yitzhahara. And that is a function of the nature of the human condition. That comes along Chazal, they tell us, Klal HaKol Holech Achar Achitu. Even if I've lost the battles throughout the year, it's okay. We're human beings. The incredible part is, no matter how many battles I've lost, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves me. No matter how many battles I've lost, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still wants a relationship with me. No matter how many battles I've lost, no matter how many birds I've let go, it doesn't matter. What matters is how I choose to finish. HaKol Holech Achar Achitu. This, Rabosai, is the power of Chodesh Elul. Elul is not about thinking about the past, and Elul is not even thinking about the future. Elul is about thinking about what opportunities I've let slip by over this course, past this course, the course of this past year, how I can recapture them, how I can maximize them, and how I can ultimately again make this the most powerful month possible. And in that sauce, we have a month of Aviv and Yom Kippur. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're trying to recapture our birds, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're trying to recapture our opportunities, that awakens a love between us and Him, and between Him and us. We should be Zochem Yirat Hashem to make this a month of recapturing our birds. We should be Zochem Yirat Hashem to make this a month of recapturing our opportunities. We should be Zochem Yirat Hashem to make this a true month of Anila Dodi V'Dodi V'Dodi V'Natsikos. May we be inscribed together with our families, together with our communities, together with all of Am Yisrael, together with all of Eretz Yisrael, for Ksila Hasidim. Amen.